This week we're going to continue our series looking through the Gospel of John. Our text this week comes from chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Please pray with me as we approach God's Word. Father, I pray that whatever might have happened to us this week, whatever we might have on our to-do list for the week ahead or just even this afternoon, that you will help us to set that aside and to focus on you and your Word for us this morning. May we grow closer to you as we learn of your Son, Jesus, the light of the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Starting in verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, then you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord. Jenny's been listening to this audiobook about personality types and identity, and we've been talking a lot about our values and what we're like and what makes us one way or what we don't like, and it's been kind of interesting. And one thing that I've known about myself for the longest time is that I put this super high premium on being interesting. It's really important to me that other people find me interesting. It's also important that I find other people interesting. If you put me in a room with people who are like a lot of good people and a lot of smart people and then a couple interesting people, I'm going to go to the interesting people. It's not great, but I know that about myself. I know that I have this overvalue on being interesting. And I also know that there are times in life where it's not good to be interesting, even though it goes counter to my very nature. So I'll give you an example. Every time I go to the eye doctor, they all pull in all the other doctors and the nurses because I'm an interesting patient. And the same thing happens at the dentist. That everyone wants to look at my x-rays and use it as a learning experience. And it is not good to be an interesting medical patient. I do not recommend that. See, I've had so many, Diane and I were talking about this before church, I've had so many eye surgeries, and I'm actually going to have another cataract surgery pretty soon. I've only been using my left eye the last 9 months, but because of all these surgeries, my eyes are very sensitive to light. It's kind of like they're always dilated, and so if you come by the church during the week and you look at my office, it's probably looks dark. Yeah, Carolyn knows. Yeah, it looks like my lights are off. It's much easier for me to operate without lights. If I could preach in sunglasses or in a cave, I'd be very happy about that. But this aversion that I have to light is abnormal. It's not usual for the rest of us. For most of our lives, for most of everything that happens, light is very important. It's also important in the Bible. It's one of the first things that God creates. It serves this huge purpose in our life, and it represents so many positive attributes that we think about either how we talk about it or in the Bible. It represents honesty and knowledge and positive morality and faith and character and holiness. So this morning, our text is dealing with the second I am statement, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And like light itself, this term carries all sorts of meanings. See, biblically speaking, light is the opposite of darkness. It's the manifestation of God's word. It's the guide to his people when they're in the desert. It's a representation or theophany of God himself in our world. It's a saving presence in our lives, a transformative experience, and a goal for us as the church to fulfill. The light means a great deal. This morning I want to talk about the meaning of light as Jesus is using it in our text, then the need for this light in our lives, and finally how the light of the world serves as an amazing gift for all of us. So first, the meaning of light. So 2 weeks ago when we talked about the first I am statement, I am the bread of life, we talked about how whenever Jesus says the words I am, he's hearkening back to the Old Testament, to who God told Moses he was. Remember, Moses said, who should I say to your people that you are? And God tells him, I am that I am. That's why we call him the great I am. It means Yahweh. That's how God identifies himself. So Jesus is reaching back, he's connecting himself with God, and giving himself that same label, that same introduction to his people. So everything else that Jesus says and does rests on this connection that Jesus' gravitas, his credibility, is based on God. That's what he says later on. He says, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. That's verse 16. Or in verse 18, Jesus says, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. His credibility comes from God, his Father who sent him. The light, its source, is God. It starts all the way back in creation. God creates the light, and he separates it from darkness. And you know, there's some Christians who view all of Scripture in this way. They view it as light versus darkness, this epic or cosmic battle between good and evil. And so when Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world, not only is he saying, I am one with the Father, and the Father gives me credibility, but he's also saying, I am one with this light that triumphs over darkness. Jesus is claiming this connection to an all-encompassing and all-powerful light that comes from God. This has happened throughout the whole Gospel of John. If you remember back in the prologue, or what happens at the beginning of John 1, which references creation, John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. See, John has been telling us since the beginning of the gospel that Jesus is this light that conquers all the darkness of the world. He was present at creation. He is one with God, the incarnate Word. He is the one that the entire Old Testament points to. And that's true. We look at the prophecies or the theophanies. Jenny told me that she didn't really like it when I was doing the fun trivia questions, but I'm going to do one anyway. Does anyone know what the word theophany means? Get the pastor's bonus point for the week. There you go. Barb, that's not fair. She's an elder and she teaches Sunday school, but that is correct. It's a visible appearance of God to the people. That's theophany. And so when we look in the Old Testament, all of the prophecies that we read and the theophanies that we see, like when God dwells in the tabernacle, or when he dwells in the Holy of Holies, or when he appears as the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire to guide the people in the desert, or when he appears in the burning bush to Moses, all of those things prepare us for the ultimate theophany, the ultimate manifestation of God in our world, which is Jesus, the light of the world. See, Jesus is the culmination of all of these things. It's a huge deal. He is the full pillar of fire. He's the full burning bush. He's the better tabernacle. The light is powerful, and it can cut through the darkness. It can illuminate our path. It can transform us, and we have access to it. We can see it in Jesus. We have a deep and desperate need for this light in our lives. So let's talk about that need. Normally when the Bible talks about light, it talks about it in this either the cosmic way, like light versus darkness and conquering darkness, or it talks about how God's light can guide our path, like it does with the pillar of fire, or illuminate our steps, like in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this is really important because spiritually speaking, we are blind on our own. My dad's family comes from East Texas, from the small town in East Texas. And When I was in high school, most of my family went down for a family reunion. I wasn't able to go. I think I had a summer job or something, but I just lived off of these stories for years to come because my Texas family is very interesting. If you take what you might think of as a stereotypical small-town Texas family, and then you made it like 25% more redneck, you'd start to get the picture. And anyway, I have a cousin named Bud, and Bud was at the reunion with his girlfriend, and he was talking to my dad, and he called him Uncle Kevin, and he said, and his girlfriend had just had an eye surgery of some sort, and so she was depending on Bud to kind of guide her around the party. She couldn't see where she was going, and Bud was not a good guide. In fact, he goes, Uncle Kevin, my girlfriend's not very happy right now. She's in a bad mood. She's a bit sensitive because yesterday I walked her into a pool. See, that's not a good guide, and that was exactly what happens when we guide ourselves, or even if we guide each other. You know, I feel very honored and grateful that I get to be up here most weeks and I get to preach and spend this time with you all. It means a lot to me, but if you relied on me to be your firm, your ultimate guide to illuminate your path, I think you might end up in a pool as well. See, we need God's light to improve our vision. We are desperate. We are in desperate need of God's light and God's illumination and God's guidance. Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says something similar in John 12, a couple chapters later. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus, as light, has the ability to bring us out of darkness, to guide our steps, to bring us into light, just like God did in Exodus 13, when as the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, and by a pillar of fire at night, so that they might travel by day and by night. He might lead them. So let me ask you this: where in your life are you in need of God's light today? Where are you lost in darkness? And it could be, I think the most obvious way are some things, aspects of our life that things that we are doing that we know is wrong or sinful. If we're struggling with some sort of addiction, or if we're cutting corners, on our expense report, or holding on to a grudge with a family member or a neighbor, there are things that we like to hide in the shadows, things that we keep away from our friends and our family. And those can be a great darkness in our lives. But it also can be like maybe our darkness is an area of our life where we're confused or we're unclear on what to do. Maybe we're facing a dilemma with how to handle choices that our children make, or what to do after losing our job, or when we're contemplating a big decision for our families. We reach around for wisdom. We reach for discernment and for guidance, but often we end up in a foggy area where the right decision isn't clear. See, unlike self-help books or our neighbor's advice or even our own intuition, God's word, Jesus, the light of the world, has the power to illuminate our path, the power to rescue us from all of these dark and foggy areas of our lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus has conquered the darkness and everything that means. Every sliver of our lives that we keep locked away, God has already seen that. He's already offering us freedom and rescue. So third, let's talk about the gift of light, the gift of this light in our lives. So this amazing gift, Jesus is the light of the world. It means that when we see what we are in Jesus, that darkness has no control over us anymore. When we look upon Jesus, we see God's face. We see the light of God, the light of the world. Back in our text, the Pharisees are really confused by what Jesus is saying. If we remember this first section of John, this often happens. Jesus either says or does something, and then the people right around him are very confused, and then Jesus has to explain it again. So the people here, the Pharisees, are confused by what Jesus is saying and how he speaks about his Father as the source for his authority, and so they ask him, where is your Father? And Jesus says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. So think about that. Isn't this a very basic desire in all of us to see God, to understand what's happening here. You know, it's an old desire. It's why the Israelites in Exodus, they built the golden calf. It's a big part of Greek and Roman mythology about instances where God comes down to earth and they get to interact with him, where he's tangible. But it's not that easy, right? In Exodus, when Moses asks to look upon God, God tells him, you know, my glory is not made for human eyes. You know, it would destroy Moses. So he puts Moses in the cleft of the rock as his glory passes by, and Moses sees the afterglow. And do you remember what happens when Moses goes back down the mountain after being with God? His face is shining brightly with God's glory, where everyone else can see the light of God reflecting off of his face from that small glimpse that he had. See, light is this tangible expression of God. It's this gift for us so that we might have access to him. Paul writes in Romans 1, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. See, God is not some distant or detached clockmaker who we don't have access to. He is present and accessible to us, and Jesus is this ultimate accessible representation of who God is. If we know him, then we know the Father. He is the light of the world, the true and better burning bush, the better pillar of fire, the better tabernacle. And this light is meant to be transformative. Are you all familiar with the phrase, sunlight makes the best disinfectant? Who never heard that? Anybody know where that comes from? Well, it comes because sunlight, if nothing else gets in its way, can over several days disinfect like a clear glass of water. In fact, the World Health Organization uses this practice in places where there is no access to clean water and there's no access to modern water treatment practices. So sunlight does have this ability to transform. And it made me think, a couple of years ago, I was listening to a radio story about a scientific discovery in rats. Okay, just go with me here. So rat DNA is what I was talking about. So it turns out that these baby rats, if they were loved and cared for by their mothers, it could change their level of anxiety, and it actually reached down into their core and changed your DNA, which is not supposed to happen. Your DNA is not supposed to change. But basically, the scientists discovered that if a mother rat licks her baby enough, the fundamental nature of that baby rat would change. So you might be thinking, ooh, this is gross, or Tim, why does this matter? Why are you telling me about baby rats? Because here's what I want to ask you a question. If the love of a rat mother and her licking, or if the power of sunlight has the power to transform, how much greater can the love of God or the gift of the light of the world change us? How much more ability does Jesus as the light of the world and as the full expression of God's love for us have the ability to transform us? We must be transformed. And the Bible makes it clear that because Jesus is the light of the world and this gift for us, that we must also live in the light and even be the light ourselves. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, "You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the light or of the darkness." And it comes with a purpose. Famously, you know, God tells us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So how do we respond to Jesus as the light of the world? How do we respond to this amazing gift? I just have two quick ways we can do this. First, we need to reach for the light. God's good gift is this power to overcome all the darkness in our lives, to bring us into this marvelous light, to rescue us from darkness. All we need to do is to reach for it, to look upon Jesus, to put our trust in him. It sounds simple, but instead of the darkness of our sin, or instead of our own broken relationships or our selfish ambitions and desires, instead of trusting our own plans or earthly concepts, like putting our faith into money or politics or success or pleasure, we need to cling to the light. We need to cling to God. We can reorient our lives around God's light. We can ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our time and his word. Like Stephanie was saying, we can learn more about God and his love for us. We can prioritize our relationship with God, using our time and our talents to glorify Him instead of using them to affirm ourselves. We need to practice this light behavior. We need to open ourselves up to learning, to confessing, to being honest with ourselves and others and with God about the struggles and the doubts we have. Jesus had the power to rescue you from darkness, to light your path, to cleanse you from your sins and your pride and your shame. You just need to let Him do it. Second, we can be the light to others. So in the gospel, this is all in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city upon a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." See, thanks to Jesus, we are also the light of the world, and that means that you and I have a responsibility to serve in this purpose. Jesus says we are meant to take God's light into the world, and I love that because, you know, it's not just church on Sunday morning where we're supposed to take God's light. It's not just to our own homes and our families. It's not even to our own individual time with the Lord in prayer. We need to take God's light to work, and to our neighborhoods, and to our friends and our family, and to all of the fallen or the worldly institutions and the culture of our world around us. We are meant to be God's light to the world. And we can do this in many different ways. Maybe you can work on your ability to share your testimony or to spread the good news to others, literally sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of God's gift to the world. Maybe it looks like bringing your time and talents and the skills that God has given you, bringing them to bear in places of need and places of darkness in our community. Maybe it's working with organizations that help the poor or the homeless or the mentally ill. Maybe it looks more simple. Maybe it looks like loving and caring for individuals whom God puts in your path, showing God's light in your actions at work or with a neighbor whose spouse has passed. See, the light of God is a tremendous power, a power that was present at creation, a power that can conquer darkness, a power that illuminates our path, a power that lets us view the glory of God, a power that Jesus puts into us, a power that is trustworthy, and a power that comes with a purpose. May we all put our trust in Jesus, the light of the world, and may we be this light to others.